Well, we are still in the series, The Essence of Faith. 5 weeks ago, my wife taught what she believed was a one-day teaching. And it so touched me that I picked up on part two. And so we gave out an outline for part two 4 weeks ago. And we're still on that same outline. Never before have we spent 1 month on one outline. So we are in the series, The Essence of Faith. This is part 2D, which is harnessing the power of your mind. If you are like me, then you probably grew up all your initial teachings in the body of Christ, from those who got you saved and taught you, mentored you, was that for a believer who wants to be a strong believer, we should focus on the heart, on faith, which is from the spirit and the heart, and not from the mind. That we should learn to put the mind down. And surely that was the way I was taught, that the mind was not that important, and that the mind was in conflict with the Word of God in our heart. That we should be focused on the engrafted Word of God in our hearts. That is, the Word of God which we have believed, have acted upon, have spoken, which then becomes a part of ourselves being engrafted into our hearts. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so, when it's engrafted into our heart, as many things have been engrafted into our hearts since we were children. In fact, 60%, psychologists tell us that 60% of what you truly believe, 60% of what you are in your heart, was in there by the time you're 6 years old. And by the time you're 18, 85% was there. So you would never let an 18-year-old rip around town in your $250,000 Ferrari. If you could get one that cheap anymore. But you let him rip around town in your body, in your life, which is far more important than your Ferrari. And that which is in our heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That which is in our heart is how we react when we don't have time to think. It's the foundation of our reality. It drives our subconscious, our unconscious, our reflexive actions and decisions. And that's why God wants His Word engrafted in our heart. Jesus came to heal the broken heart. That you and I had hearts which are partly set on God and partly set on the world or the devil, which is the same thing. And God sent Jesus to put them back together. So we have a heart undivided, fixed upon God, loyal to God. And that as we are in our heart, we become the Word of God. Because God sent His Word to become flesh and dwelt among us. And what God sows, He reaps back. What we sow, we reap back. You reap what you sow. He sowed the Word of God as flesh, and He wants the Word of God, us to become the Word of God in flesh. He wants there to be nothing in our hearts but the Word of God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Didn't say it's difficult. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we're all here because we want to please God. Therefore, we all need to know how to walk in faith. And faith is believing God in our heart, not in our minds. Believing God in your mind is a good start. It's called mental assent. You believe God in your mind, you mentally agree, I understand what He's saying, and I believe that in my mind. But faith is taking it out of your mind by action and by words and putting it into your heart where it becomes engrafted into your heart. That word in your heart that you believe and have planted in your heart, that's faith. What comes out of your heart is the abundance of your heart. And God's desire is for us to have in our hearts an abundance of His Word. So when we have God's word in our heart, when we are the word of God in our heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, then reflexively, unconsciously, automatically, as a routine, you know, people go on automatic pilot all the time. Right? Isn't that true? Like, have you ever driven home on automatic pilot and suddenly you're in your garage? You know? Like this guy was following this man in a fog, great thick fog. And he said, well, I don't know the way, but that guy seems to know it. Just went by him. He hugged his, on his bumper, right? Could just barely see that. And he just hugged him. Whatever the guy did, he did. Right behind him, man. And he's pleased with himself. So he's going along. And suddenly the guy stopped without any warning. No indicator, stop. And he crashed into him. Not hard, a little bit. And he got out. He was furious. He says, man, how come you didn't indicate you're going to stop? You know, you didn't give me a little warning, flash on the brake or anything. The man says, you want me to indicate I'm stopping in my garage? So, that's what drives our behavior all the time, is what's in our heart. And so we want the Word of God there to drive the behavior in our heart. And that's faith. Believing the Word of God, which renews our mind to the Word of God, then speaking and doing it, which puts it in your heart, then it starts to put you in automatic pilot. Not just the automatic pilot that's driving you home when you are not paying attention, but the automatic pilot of making the right decisions, the godly decisions, because you are what you are in your heart. And that's faith. But in the process of doing that, the devil doesn't want us to do that. So we are told to walk by faith, not by sight. Ah, not by sight. That's where the devil gets into the action. He wants you to walk by sight. And when you say, okay, I heard the word of God, it says I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And the devil comes, and says, oh, you believe you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Let me see if you believe it in your heart or in your mind. And he comes and he hits you with one symptom after another. And he gives you, paints all these scenarios as to what's going to happen. And if you start dwelling in those scenarios, if you start doing what the scenario is telling you to do, you're now moving from walking by faith in the word of God to walking by faith in the word of the devil, which is called fear. You cannot have fear and faith. You've got to make a choice. Do you want to walk in fear or do you want to walk in faith? And so the mind then becomes a battleground where the devil is trying to get you to walk by sight. God is trying to get you to walk by his word, that you make your decisions by the word of God and by the Spirit of God in you, that you be led by the Spirit of God, that you hear the voice of the Spirit of God in your heart, in your spirit, even your mind, eventually. Initially, the loudest thing in your mind is the devil. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's like a dove. He doesn't force himself into your mind. That driving force in your mind, that's the devil. So if initially we hear God in our heart or spirit, but eventually we can hear him in our mind. So the devil attacks the mind with these fiery darts because he wants you to walk by sight. He wants you to fight the battle on his timing in his battleground. He wants to choose the choice of weapons. You know, if you're going into a duel and you have a choice of weapons, you don't want to go into a sword fight if you're up against the best swordsman in the world and you've never fenced in your life. But if you're a Daniel Boone crack shot, you're going to choose a rifle. You're going to choose the time when the sun is not shining in your eye, when the sun is shining in your opponent's eye. You want to pick a fight when you're strong. Most Christians do the exact opposite. They don't fight the devil. They don't fight back trying to walk in faith when they're strong and healthy and the word of God is dominant in their life. They tend to fight back reactively. The devil hits and they're down. And then they start to fight. They've given up the weapon and they've given up the timing. Now, if that's where you are, win this battle, but move into the future. Determine in your heart, in the future, I'm going to pick the battleground and I'm going to pick the weapons. Okay? So the devil wants to get you into his battleground, which is walking by sight. To walk by sight, he bombards you with all the symptoms of life that tend to support his position. And these fiery darts come to your mind. We have been taught to bypass the power of the mind. Because there's so much stuff out there about the power of the mind that's unchristian. Right? You know, you got hypnosis, you got Scientology, you got Christian Science, you got religious science, you got New Age. There's a lot of stuff out there that uses a lot of the power of the mind. And so Christians shy away from the power of the mind, leaving it totally available to the enemy to use against you. Christians grew up, most of us grew up from babies. Right? And so as babies, we're growing into younger, you know, young childhood and older childhood. And all this time, the devil is bombarding your mind with all these thoughts. And eventually, we become like that proverbial fish. The fish doesn't know he's wet because he's been living in water all his life. And we've been swamped with minds that have been coming under the fiery darts from as far back as you can think. And we think those are our thoughts. And that's highly unscriptural. For 1 Corinthians 2:16 says what? Thank you, sir. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Jesus died so you could have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not a mind that's polluted with thoughts of sin, being bombarded by fear, the repository of committees where a whole bunch of things in your head are arguing back and forth. It's not the place where you hear the woulda, shoulda, coulda. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a place of fear. The mind of Christ is a place of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, self-control, moderation. That's the mind of Christ. We are fond of picking up our Bibles and say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. Well, it am says you are one who has the mind of Christ. It says you are a conqueror. It says Satan is under your feet. Anything that contradicts those statements is from the devil. Not from you, because you have the mind of Christ, and not from God. Anything that contradicts that, contradicts the Bible. And in our hearts, we know the Bible is the Word of God, and we want to live the Word of God. Am I correct? Amen. Amen. Okay? So we've learned to bypass the mind, ceding that victory for the most part to the devil. He bombards our mind all the time with all kinds of things, and we take it for normal. This is where my mind has always been. It's time to change. Many of you are on the school of dominion. It's time to use your authority and dominion over yourself and tell your mind you're going to be the mind of Christ. Many of you have been coming to ABC for years and you know what I'm saying. You've been affirming, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. You're walking in faith, speaking out what God says. Titus 3 verse 8 says, affirm these truths constantly. And we've been declaring a truth. We have the mind of Christ. And our minds are getting more representative of the fruit of the Spirit. And our bodies are getting healthier and healthier. And our finances are prospering. Am I not telling you the truth? And we see miracles every day. Around us, we have miracles every day. Today, we're going to celebrate a miracle. Yes, sir. Multiple miracles. When Evie 2 weeks ago was looking in was in a challenging place. We said, Evie, your 80th birthday is coming up. We want you on your 80th birthday to celebrate with us. And there she's back there. Today is her 80th birthday. She's shocked the doctors repeatedly. She's shocked the doctors repeatedly, just as many of you have shocked the doctors. Because what we have is the mind of Christ. And your mind is supposed to control your body. The devil wants to control your body through your mind. He wants to control your life through your mind. Because if he can get you to focus on the fiery darts and live walking by the symptoms of the world, the challenge of the world, and not walking by faith, he will control your tongue. And if he controls your tongue, the Bible says he controls your life. So we need to harness the power of our minds. Loving God means that God and his ways should be the primary focus of our life, and therefore of our thoughts. Our thoughts should be focused on God and loving God because we love him. Therein begins the metamorphosis. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 says, present your body as a living sacrifice. Jesus gave his body to us as a sacrifice. He wants us to give back our bodies to him as a sacrifice. Die to self, die to sin, die to pride. Flee your youthful sins. He wants us to do that, to present our bodies as living sacrifices. But we're not going to be able to stand that altar unless, you know, I heard one person say, well, you know, if I took my husband and put him on the altar and used some super glue, I could leave him there. But I don't think she's tried it yet. Or maybe it was the husband talking about the wife. I don't know. But it's really clever, right? And don't look at Bill that way. She's thinking. Maybe she's thinking, I'm going to go buy me a big bottle of super glue. But we can't stay on that altar of presenting our bodies as living sacrifice according to Romans 12:1. Unless we can do Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We want to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, which means in our mind must be the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that our mind must be in harmony, in alignment with our hearts. That the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God must be in our hearts. And then when we're in alignment, the power comes out. And we walk in miracles. Miracles for ourselves and miracles for others. But the transformation starts with the mind. And if we cede the battle to the enemy by ignoring the mind, the enemy is going to win. That's why Christians today are challenged with sickness and disease and infirmity and poverty and accidents and fear and immorality. And I'm talking about the strong Christians. Why is that? Because they keep getting bombarded by these thoughts. Because the mind has not been renewed. Because we've ignored the power of the mind. Let me give you an example of somebody who used the power of the mind. Nora Lamb, wonderful woman of God. Oh my. So much to say. Nora Lam was arrested by the Chinese government and put in jail. For a long time, they didn't feed her. They tried executing her with a firing squad, which didn't work either. But this, what I want to focus on is she was pregnant. And she made a promise. She made a declaration. My baby will not be born in a communist country. And that was in her mind. My baby will not be born in a communist country. It was in her mouth. My baby will not be born in a communist country. It was in her eyes. She can see her baby being born in a free country. It was in her heart, her mouth, and her eyes. She carried her baby for 14 months. After 14 months, she was released from communist China. She got out, had her baby in Hong Kong. which at that time was a free country. Power of the mind, coupled with speaking the word of God, coupled with being focused on the word of God. And we see examples of this all the time. How many times have you listened to the news and somebody got lost in the wilderness? And they've been lost for a week, 2 weeks, and they die of starvation, dehydration, all this kind of stuff. Hey, we call that fasting. You with me? We have a lot of people here who have fasted 40 days. Yes, they have water, but I'm talking about lack of food. 40 days. Many people here have done that. Power of your mind. If your mind can see it, and you can find it in the Word of God, then the battle is won and will come to pass. Understand, I'm not teaching that the mind is going to supersede faith. Not at all. Faith is a vehicle. The mind is just to be renewed so the fiery darts can't lead you down the wrong track. The mind is just to be renewed so it can move into mental ascent into new promises of God. You cannot have faith without knowledge. People go to hell every day because, not because Jesus hasn't died for them. The grace for salvation belongs to them. But they go to hell every day for a lack of knowledge. Whatever that knowledge is for them. So, when I'm talking about harnessing the power of the mind, it is as a support function to your heart. It is to help you in the spiritual warfare so you can recognize the fire darts and put them down. It is to bring you to a point where you can truly walk in faith without the clamor of the committee and of the fear coming to your mind. Where you can have a mind that's peaceful and you can go days and weeks, maybe months, without a sinful thought hitting your mind. Because Jesus says you have the mind of Christ. Is it possible? Absolutely. A, the word of God says it is. B, for my own part, I'm pretty close to that. I can go days and weeks. I don't know about months. I haven't checked it long. Without this clamor in my mind. We can all do it. It's the word of God. Jesus paid the price. So you can have peace in your mind. And peace is shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. So your mind functions like a computer. A computer doesn't know the difference between reality and non-reality. All it knows is input, process, and output. Your mind is the same way. Whatever comes into it, it treats as reality. It will process it based on whatever is stored in from history and experience and give you an output. It doesn't know the difference. And we experience it all the time. We're watching TV. And suddenly something happens suddenly on the TV. And your body gives a start. Or something, you know, suspense and something happened that's unexpected. And you jump. Some of you might even cry out. Is it reality? Not really. The perception of it is reality to your mind, but it's not reality. There's a wonderful movie called The Seven Samurai. And The Seven Samurai was made, it's a Japanese movie. The Seven, in case the word samurai didn't give you a hint. Yeah. And The Seven Samurai was made into an American classic, The Magnificent Seven, which is being remade. And it tells the story from seven different perspectives. To each person, it was a reality, but their perception of what was happening was very, very different. So what the devil wants to do is provide input to the computer of your mind and create a reality. It's actually create a perception which becomes reality to you. One common case is people go to the doctor. you know, like for example, there's a pain in their body, and maybe they pray a few times and the pain hasn't left, so they go to a doctor. But before they get to the doctor, the devil will give them a whole Chinese menu of choices. Right? It was like, oh, there's a pain in your stomach. Okay, well, it was food poisoning from the lunch you had at that new place. Ah, it can't be food poisoning. Everybody had the same thing and nobody got sick but me. Oh, okay. Well, would you believe appendicitis? Nah, my appendix was taken out before. Can't be appendicitis. Okay. Would you believe a kidney stone? Yeah, could be a kidney stone. It runs in my family. In fact, it practically gallops in my family. So you go to the doctor. Doctor, I got a pain here and I think it's a kidney stone. Doctor checks around. Does a little stuff. The devil plays with his machine. Little adjustments here and there. Or have a lab assistant make a mistake, of which I know very well since I used to be a chemist. With a lot of lab assistants under me, I became a chemist because I found all the mistakes that lab assistants were making. And come back, here is this thing. And now this becomes gospel. This, I'm paying for this. This test is costing me $500. This is accurate. And these people have all these degrees hanging on the wall. And I did not know that one of them had had a couple of D's in this particular area. I didn't know that. This is the truth. The doctor says, well, here is the truth. You remember the doctor telling us? With our sister. Three monitors up there by the bed. Three different tests being shown on the monitor. He was so proud of it. Because they just got it, right? And each test is being shown live on monitors. You know, you can bring it up and see them. So here's what happened here. Here's a view from the Catskill or whatever. Here's the view from the Catskill Mountains, you know, whatever. Okay? And he says, here's where it happened. And look at this view. This tells you, this is the area. Can never, never be restored and healed. And we said, yes, doctor, except for God. God can do it. He said, well, maybe. She was healed out of the hospital in 2 days. And all the challenges went away. Despite the three monitors. And so the doctor comes back and says, here are the tests. You're right. You got kidney stones. And now the word of God kicks in. Where two agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. And now the person has kidney stones. And the devil says, see, got another one. Why did that happen? Because the mind gave into the fiery darts of all these pains and temptations. It created a perceptual reality. And perceptual realities can be very, very powerful. The idea of the perceptual reality is to get you to quit walking by faith. Everybody should have a handout with two pictures in it. Correct? Yeah. I gave it to you as an example of perception test. We've got psychologists here, and they're very familiar with this. Okay? Now, on the first one, the upper one, for most people, as you glance at the upper one, you will see a young lady looking away from you. Is that true? Anybody see that? How many people see a young lady looking away from you? Okay, almost 100%. How many people see something differently? Okay, about 6 or 7 or 8, 9. If you keep looking, you will see something differently. What will you see, Lloyd?
An older lady.
Just an older woman. You know, I mean, really like the word they use when I was in class, which they don't use anymore, is a hag. I mean, just look, awful looking woman. Look like a witch. A really older lady. Anybody see that? Move it back and forth before. Move it back and forth before between before your eyes. Move it around to different focus, and you will see it. Okay. You see the part down here? That's actually her chin. Okay. This is her chin. Okay. And this the part above it is her nose, right? So the chin here, the nose is a part above it, and there's that you can see an eye. Everybody, people are starting to see that? Okay. That's a little bit harder than most because A, it's small, it's small. It's a small picture. And B, like in college, when I started in college a few years ago, you know, we were all in our late teens or 20s, and our eyes adjust really easily. It was a piece of cake to see the both of them. Now that I'm a few years past college age, I don't focus as, in the natural, I don't focus as easily as I used to be, and spiritually, my eyes are getting better. And they'll be better than when I was in college. Now, the bottom one is pretty obvious, I think. In fact, it's maybe too obvious. If you look at the bottom one, what do you all see? Does anybody see a woman? Yeah. See a woman? It's like a projection of a woman, or maybe a woman with a great huge head. See a great huge head standing among the trees? Is that what you all see? Okay, so everybody see the woman there, right? Almost everybody? Okay. No, look, focus not on the woman, focus on the tree, on the branches, and trace the branches towards her and tell me what you see. Take for example, here's a good one. You see her lips? The lips, there's a branch extending towards the lips. You all see that? Focus on that branch alone and go towards the lip and see what happens. Focus on just the branch alone. No, focus just on the branch and go toward her lips. Just keep your eyes simply on the branch and move towards her lips. What happens? The lip disappears. And what do you see? Well, you could call it a snake, but what it really is a branch with little leaflets coming off it, tendrils. There is no lip. It's totally a branch. The lips are totally formed by the ending of a branch. If you focus where all you see is the branch, the lips totally disappear. In fact, the entire woman disappears. Okay? You see her eyes? Follow the branches towards her eyes, and you see the eyes are really the ending of branches. And when you focus on the branches, the woman totally disappears. There is no one. It's just two trees with branches extending towards each other. You all see that? If you don't see it now, practice it, you will. The question is then, for those of you who have seen it, what is the reality? Is this two trees or is the woman among the trees? A simpler way to say it's a demon. See? But it's not a demon. It's two trees and perception are playing a trick on you. See? You see, you look at reality. What is reality? Well, the reality is this looks pretty solid. If I take this and hit you over the head, it's going to feel real to you. It's going to feel that there's a lot of substance here. It depends on which reality you want to look at. If you look at it at the atomic reality, there's more empty space here than there is material. The space between the nucleus and the electrons is huge compared to electrons and nucleus. It's mostly empty space. Same thing with our universe. You've seen some of the new pictures coming back from space? The Hubble telescope and the new radar telescope and so forth. You look at it and you can see like a river or a big cloud. And it looks like a dense cloud. And what it is a bunch of galaxies clustered together. And when they're clustered together, it looks like a whole cloud. But the space within a galaxy to the next galaxy is humongous. It's probably in the billions of miles. That's perception. And that's what the devil is trying to do with your mind. He's trying to affect your mind with perception of reality. And it may seem real, and it may seem ferocious. But the Word of God is truth. And what we hang on to is the truth of the Word of God. And we ignore all perceptions and everything that comes from the enemy to focus on truth. 2 Corinthians 10:5 puts it this way. 2 Corinthians 10:5 puts it this way. 10:5 and 10:6. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. As you take the word of God and cast them down, it's like focusing on the branches and the woman disappears. As you focus on the word of God, the symptoms will leave. And the reality of God's world will override the reality of what's in your body. I'm not saying that everything in your body is a perception that's wrong. I'm not saying that every doctor comes back and is telling you something wrong. Science is real. Medicine is real. Generally speaking, when they come back with a test result, it's real and it's accurate. But the point of fact is, it's a low level of reality. It's the reality of the physical world. And you're not physical beings. You're spiritual beings made in the image and likeness of God with God's power in you, and your reality should be the Word of God. And each person has to make a choice. Am I going to live by the reality of the Word of God, or am I going to live by the reality of my five senses? The Bible puts it this way. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says, to be carnally minded is death. Carnally doesn't necessarily mean sin. Carnally means I'm choosing to live by the inputs of carnal things to my five senses. I'm choosing to live in a manner where I interpret life through my flesh, as opposed to interpreting life through my spirit and through the Word of God. If you're carnally minded, you will die. But if you're spiritually minded, it's life. If you're spiritually minded and you continue to live by faith and you harness the power of your mind, then we can be here when Jesus returns. And those who are alive and remain shall not die, for they shall be caught up with the Lord. So what we need to do is keep the knowledge in our mind active, the knowledge of what the Word of God says. We need to have a focus on affirmations, visualization, meditation in our mind. This is what the doctors call the will to live. I'm sure most of us have heard the doctors say, well, boy, this person has a tremendous will to live. It's probably going to make it. But that person doesn't have the will to live. They're probably going to die. When you are focused on the Word of God, when you have this before you, in your thoughts and in your mind, then you can have that will to live, the will to overcome, the will to be a super conqueror. When you do that, you can move into a place where your mind becomes peaceful. Through faith, your mind becomes peaceful. Through faith, you can live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And that's what we want in our home and in our lives. That's what we teach in healing school, how to do that. But you can't live in righteousness, peace, and joy around you if your mind is full of fear and terror and torment. Fear and terror and torment do not belong in the kingdom of God. And your mind is in the kingdom of God when we choose to live in righteousness, peace, and joy. So finally, we get to C3, alignment. Everything has been a review from a different direction. Now we get to new material, and today we're going to finish this in the next maybe 15 minutes. The primary alignment is your mind should be submitted to your soul in terms of harnessing the power of your mind. The primary alignment is your mind should be submitted to your soul. Your soul should be submitted to your heart, and your heart submitted to your spirit. So your spirit, in your spirit, God lives. So your spirit is in alignment with God. Now your heart should line up with your spirit. What's in your heart should be what's in your spirit, which is the Word of God. And what should be in your soul should be what your heart says should be in your soul. Your hopes, plans, ambition, desires, and intention, all which reside in your soul, should be coming from the engrafted Word in your heart. That your life should be godly. And when these three are lined up, then it's easier to have the peace of God in your mind. And your mind will be submitted. When your mind walks in peace, so will your body. We can wipe out a whole range of psychosomatic challenges, just like that. We can wipe out a whole range of challenges where our nervous system are causing problems in our body, just by this process of staying in alignment. The secondary alignment is your body submitted to your mind and your mind submitted to the word. Your body submitted to your mind. Your body does what your mind says, and your mind should do what the word says. And you can enforce that because you have authority to speak to your mind. Your mind belongs to you. Your body belongs to you. You speak to them, and you say, you line up to the word of God. Not just for healing, but in everything. People like to have their bodies line up to the word of God in healing, but not when it comes to going to church. Or the many things we do or don't do. Three B, the submission of the mind to the word is way beyond mentally knowing the word. When we read the Bible, when we memorize the Bible, when we study it, it gets into our mind. That is called mental assent. That's what we all do when we went to school. Now I'm speaking to the college ones currently in college. You're renewing your mind to something. You're renewing your mind, let us say, to engineering, to acting, to singing. Let's take engineering. You've renewed your mind to engineering. That doesn't make you an engineer. It makes you a person whose mind is renewed to engineer. What makes you an engineer? Speaking it, living it, doing it. That's why when people come out of college, they have a degree that says you're an engineer. But they start off at a low level as an engineer. Because they're not engineers. They have the potential to be engineers, just like you and I have the potential, the grace to be anything we want to be. We have the grace, the potential to be healed, free of doctors and medicine, to have every need met, to walk in power. All the potential is there. But we got to do it. The college grad who has a degree saying he's an engineer will never be an engineer if he doesn't speak engineering, think engineering, act engineering. And eventually, through experience, he does become an engineer and his salary goes up. You, with all your potential, me, with all my potential, all the grace, everything Jesus has paid for, belongs to us. We'll never become it unless we speak it, believe it, speak it, act it, do it. And then we move into that. That's why people can go to church for 20 years and never change. Their minds are renewed, except for the past, they forget. But it never gets into their heart, and their mind never is harnessed. Because they don't speak it and do it. So this submission of the mind is a renewal, which does include memorization, focusing, centering of thoughts on the word, visualizing and fantasizing the promises and the manifestation. You want to see yourself healed. You want to speak healing. You want to act as if you're healed. And you get a picture of what it looks like. You want to picture the doctor telling you, yes, you're healed. This is miraculous. You want a picture when you're standing up giving a testimony. People love to give testimony. But before every testimony, there was a test. You can't have a great mountain climbing testimony if there wasn't a valley to climb out of. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Because every diverse temptation, every challenge is an opportunity to rise up. One lady told me recently, when she came here, she was taking a lot of medications. She told me she had cut all the way down to 10. And in November or December, somehow she forgot to take her medication. Several of these are, in the natural and medically, life-threatening. Significant life-threatening. She had forgotten to take them. And she called me sometime in January, I think, and said, Pastor, I haven't taken any medication for like a month. None. I said, well, how do you feel? I feel great. Sound to me that God has delivered you. For me, I wouldn't go back to them. It's been 4 months now. You know some of those terrible commercials you see on TV where it says, 10 seconds, you take this, and you can sleep well. But you could sleepwalk, you could murder your neighbor, you could fall, you could, and it goes on for the next 2 minutes. We are talking about some of those medications. You know the one about the elephant sitting on the person's shoulder? You can never be healed. Well, I tell you, people here have been healed from COPD. You name it, more than likely somebody here has been healed from it. We're talking about 10 significant medications. But the lady was so focused on God, spending 8 hours a day with God, focusing on God, thinking it, visualizing it, seeing herself doing this, doing whatever she could, walking by faith, that she forgot to take her medication for about a month. All of them. So the last 10, she quit taking. She's gone from a lot of medication down to zero. We had one lady who came here. She was taking 110 pills a day. When she left here, she was down to 10. Why did she leave? She got offended. Actually, that's not really true. Her mother-in-law got offended and left. That's not even true either. The husband of the mother-in-law got offended and left. The wife went with the husband. The son went with the mother. And the junior wife went with the son. So what do you think happened? When you walk away from where you're getting your healing because of offense, what happens? Okay. So you want to picture yourself healed. Picture the cancer in your body starved for food. I'm just getting rolling here. Picture the cancer starved for food. Okay, I have to tell you the story. Before I was saved, I wasn't saved. Okay? Before I was saved, I was going to hell. As my first mentor, Bishop Rowe, of the Church of God in Christ, said to me, he would introduce me to his congregation, he had a bunch of churches, and I spoke at a bunch of them. He says, "This is my adopted son. He was going to hell in fine style." True, I was going to hell in fine style. I got saved. So while I was unsaved at the major well-known university, while I was there working in my master's, couple of masters, I got trained in hypnosis. And I became an expert hypnotist. And I did it primarily for fun, at parties, and for myself. So at that point in time, some years later, I was one of three owners of a company. We had a bunch of employees. And one employee knew about my hypnosis and parties and came and said, "My mother has been told by the doctor she's going to die. She has cancer. And there's nothing they can do. Do you think you can help?" And I thought, well, this is an interesting challenge. I mean, everything I know about hypnosis said, yeah, it could do it. So I ministered to her. You know, this is not Christian ministry. This is hypnosis ministry. So I went to her home every lunchtime for few months. And I taught her a number of things. Visualizing the end result. Visualizing yourself healed. Visualizing your body free of cancer. Visualizing all the cancer cells being starved. Visualize the vessels that are feeding the cancer cell. Visualize them closing down on the cancer dying. A whole bunch of things. And after about 3 months, she got her total healing. Okay? Now, did that bring any glory to God? I don't think so. Was it from God? No, it was just the power of the mind. Can your mind do a lot of stuff? Yeah. If you know how to use it. Since I got saved, I've not used hypnosis. It can be very dangerous. So I don't recommend any Christian use hypnosis. Let me repeat it. I don't recommend any Christian use hypnosis. And even worse than using it is having somebody practice it on you. Okay? But it shows the power of the mind. And you can do that. You have the mind of Christ. You have God's power. You can, well, first of all, if a person is challenged with cancer, they should, in the name of Jesus, curse the cancer cells. Well, if you curse them, picture them dying. Every day, picture them dying. You can speak to your body. Many of you are in the school of dominion. Speak to your body. Tell your body, do not provide any oxygen, any nutrient, and any blood to any cancer cell. In the name of Jesus, I command every blood vessel going to the cancer cells to shrivel up and die. And you picture that happening. And when you're praying to God, being led by the Spirit of God, using the Word of God, and the power in the name of Jesus, as you're doing all that, use the power of your mind to picture what you want. Declare the ending from the beginning. If you're going to declare the ending from the beginning, which is scriptural, why would you want to picture it? Why would you not want to keep it in your mind? Why would you want to keep in your mind, get the paperwork done because you're going to die? What kind of funeral am I going to have? What clothes am I going to wear to the funeral? Oh, I should go buy a plot. That's not picturing victory. That's picturing defeat. You have the mind of Christ. You have been redeemed. Every cell, every organ, every system, spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus brought back and bought back, purchased for you. Picture what you want. Speak what you want. Declare what you want. And use the Word of God to change your life with the authority. But picture it in your mind. Bring the power of your mind and harness it. And use it for godly things. Proverbs 4:21 says, the Word of God. And the Word of God has to include the promise of God. And the promise of God is what you want. Keep the Word of God. Keep the promise of God. Picture the end result always before your eyes. Proverbs 4:4. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. The Word of God should be in your heart. The promises should be in your heart. The result that you're seeing should be in your heart. Picture it before your eyes. Picture it in your heart. Picture it in your mind. And Ephesians 4:29. Keep it in your mouth. The Word of God should be in your mouth. Nothing, no corrupt communication should be in your mouth, but only that which brings grace to the hearer. You are hearing your own word spoken. Speak to yourself the Word of God. Release grace into your life by speaking the Word of God into your life. And release the end result you want into your life. Don't release the negative result. Don't speak the problem. Don't speak the negative result. Speak the solution, God's word, and release the grace from your mouth into your life. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. Meditate. In the original meaning, it's to mutter. You shall mutter it. Keep it in your mouth. But also meditate in your mind and in your heart. Meditate the result. Don't meditate the fear. The devil wants to control your mind with fear. Meditate what you want. Therein, day and night. You know, people go to college and they spend 4 years in college getting a degree. You know, in that 4 years, they're not picturing failure. For 4 years, as they're studying, every night when they open their books, do you think they say, boy, I got 10 chapters to read tonight, but I'm going to fail. If they do that, they'll never graduate. You don't picture failure. You picture the end result. You picture what's going to happen in 4 years. You should meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. We're going to do one thing, one last thing. Please turn to the book of Philippians. I've got to do this. Book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We all know that, right? How do we get there? Well, a good way to get there might be to see what comes before that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus paid the price to provide the grace That's a true statement. Are we going to walk in the benefits that's in that scripture? Well, let's start in verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. First thing, rejoice in the Lord always. This is the day the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. That sets the tone for your day. Joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want to do all things through Christ who strengthens you, you better be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, which starts with joy. That's why God gave me my wife. Okay? Because I needed that joy for the rest of my ministry. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation. What does that have to do with anything? Moderation, the same word is diligence. Self-control. We can do anything. You can eat the whole cake by yourself, just not all at one time. Let your moderation be known to all men. Let your self-control be known to all men. Let your diligence be known to all men. All the same word. It is the foundation, the bottom of the fruit of the Spirit. All of the fruit of the Spirit is based on your moderation. So rejoice, be moderate, and don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. If you're joyful and you're moderate in what you do, diligent, you don't have to worry about anything. You do have to do something. Don't worry about it. Cast your cares upon the Lord. But what do? But in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your day be joyful. Walk in moderation. Be worried about nothing. But do in everything, pray. Use your Mark 11:24 to pray. And believe that you receive when you pray. If you receive it when you pray, you continue to be joyful. You won't walk in fear. You see the end results in your mind. You'll harness the power of your mind and be focused on the ending that you have declared. And when that happens, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind. That's what we're talking about. The peace of God in your heart and your mind. The peace, which is shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You have a mind, which is the mind of Christ. You've harnessed the power of your mind on a daily basis. And then throughout the day, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think upon these things. You do that, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.